This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, I just want to agree with that, Lord. And yes, Father, we just want to say this morning that we love you, Lord, that you are so good, Lord. We can just stand here this morning and just celebrate it, Lord God, your goodness, your mercy that endures forever, Lord. And, oh, Father, what a joy it is to lift our hands and just proclaim, Lord, your goodness, Lord, that you loved us first, Lord, and that we can have a relationship with you, a living relationship, that we can know you and that we can hear your voice, Lord. And, Father, that you are just so amazing. And I just want to read for us from Ephesians chapter 1 as a prayer, verse 17, and says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Yes, Father, and this morning, Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you will give us the spirit of wisdom, Lord God, and of revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord God, of who you are, Lord God. Lord, that you will come and open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that you will enlighten our hearts, Lord, about who you are, that we can know you better, Lord, daily, weekly, monthly, every year, every season of our lives, Lord God. What a joy it is, Father, to grow in knowing you through your word, through prayer, through worship, Lord God, in so many ways, about through creation all around us, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you will just once again come and draw the curtains, put it aside a little bit, Lord God, that we can just see a little bit more today, Lord, of who you are, Lord God, and what you want to show us about yourself, Lord. And Father, that we can just remain in that place of worshiping you, Lord, day and night, that we will not cease, Lord, just to give thanks, Lord. Oh, Father, every moment, Lord God, that we will count our blessings. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us to this place at the end of 2019, Lord, and that we can look back as a church, as a family, Lord, as a congregation, and just declare, Lord, that, yes, Father, that you are with us, that we've got so much to thank you for, Lord God. Every person that was baptized through this year, every person whose life was changed, yes, Father, through your word, Lord God, through your love, Lord God, through your light, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we look back and we thank you, we celebrate, Lord God, and yes, Father, we're excited about the rest of the day and tomorrow and the things that you still want to do in us and through us, Lord. Yes, Father, and this morning we just want to once again come and say, Lord, not our will, but your will, Lord God. We just want to obey, Lord God, and just with Jesus Christ say that our food is to do your will, Lord God. That we want to be an obedient church, Lord. Give us the strength and the grace and the wisdom, Lord, to be obedient in everything you called us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. It's good to be here at the middle of the December. And what a joy it is to see our family always coming together at church. And there's so many things 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had our Thanksgiving Sunday and we could just reflect on the year and the places we've been and the stuff that God has been doing in our midst. It's so precious just to reflect on that. And there were one or two people that had already came and said, but yeah, Carl, can't you just say today that we love the church and God is good and then say amen and then then we can go on holiday. So some people, the slow town fever is on us in the holiday season, I guess. So, but no, we're going to still preach a proper sermon today. And I believe the Lord still wants to, you know, in eternity, there's seasons, but God doesn't just give us a spiritual holiday. He continues to work in our hearts. And I remember when I was just, it was weeks, only weeks after I came to Christ, You know, one of my good friends, he actually came to me, you know, so usually when I was a Stellenbosch student at Stellenbosch, studied, and, you know, usually holidays was just a time to be lazy in a sense and do nothing. You think you worked hard throughout the year. But he gave me this advice, and he said to me, remember in the holiday, you've got more time to be in the Word. You've got more time to study, to pray, to worship. And, you know, so it's important that we don't take a spiritual holiday this time of the year. And I believe, I can just testify of that. I believe the Lord is just in my own life busy in saying to me, you know, keep focused, keep on going, keep your eyes on me. Don't take a break or spiritual holiday now. In middle January, we start to put wood in the engine in a sense. But prepare yourself for where God is taking us. And Thursday morning, you know, when we were praying at the new church, for those of you who don't know, you know, the roof came up in the past week or two, and it was so significant. And just standing there on Thursday morning early as the day was breaking, praying there, interceding there, you know, it makes me feel so small, because the new building isn't the end goal. That's not just something we're working towards, and when it's accomplished, we say we reached our goal. I was standing there, and I'm saying, God, what is behind this building? Where are you taking us? This isn't just that's the end. We reached our mandate as a church, and there we are. It's like, God, there's a lot of things you still want to do in us and through us, and obviously in this building as well. So I'm so excited, but I know I need to say, God, what is your will in all of this? So that's why I started off by just praying and saying, Lord, you need to give us a revelation. Lord, you need to open the eyes of my heart that I can see what you want to say to me. Lord, what do you want to do in my life right now? And I'm going to just jump in there, and I'm going to go to John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. And, you know, just before that, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And here the disciples is speaking to Jesus, and once again they are guilty of a bit of spiritual blindness. And we take it up from verse 31, and it says there, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Okay? So our food, usually this time of the year, you can think of your favorite food, things that sustains us, things that feeds us, things that keeps us alive. But Jesus says to the disciples once again, listen, I know what food you are talking about, but my food, my nourishment, is to do the will of my Father. What really makes my heart beat is to be obedient to my Father, the one who has sent me. I'm not just the sent one that's now here on the face of the earth, and now I can do whatever I want to. You know, when we were young and we had a bit of freedom, you think like, now I can do whatever I want to. Anyone else? We're 19, 16, 25, maybe you're still there, I don't know. When we think like dad or mom or whoever isn't looking over your shoulder, now I can do whatever you want to. But for Jesus, it's completely different. He's on this place and he says, my food is to do the will of him who has sent me. Now, it's important that I contemplated a bit before the time which way I would do it around. But it's so important then when we look at the gospel according to John, that we look at the prologue first, the introduction, the first 18 verses, because that's the lens through which, the lens and the cornerstone through which we must view this gospel. And it's so important, it introduces Jesus as the gospel and the gospel message. Of course, he's the gospel, he's the light, he's the good news, he has been sent to do the will of his Father. And it was a common feature in ancient literature or in ancient writings to give an introduction, probably just as today, to introduce the main figures and what is happening there. But the amazing thing, when we look at the introduction, this prologue, the first 18 verses of John, it's not just early first century Palestine. It's actually eternity. It's actually the cosmos. It's actually so much bigger where we start. And I have to admit, in the past 2 weeks or so, I've been reading this passage, and that's actually not what the sermon is about, but we need this as a little bit of a foundation. You know, then I just want to get lost in a sense of the enormity. And I just want to read the first four verses of John chapter 1, then verse 14 quickly. And you know, it starts off, because that helps us a bit when we look at Jesus Christ, to look through this lens. And it says there, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, let's be honest, you know, sometimes when we want to download something on our phones, I don't know if your phone has told you something like, out of space, there's not enough memory, or, you know, there's not enough space available anymore for whatever you want to put there. But it's almost as if my mind and my flesh want to say to me, you can only go that far, and then you have to admit, you're out of depth, you're out of megabytes, gigabytes, terabytes, space, whatever you want to call it. Because, you know, my children has been there for the past few years asking all these questions as I grow up. And, you know, it's not very long before they get to this, but who created everything? And where does God come from? And who made him? And all of that. And, you know, I still can't give the answer. I can just say, read the Word. And there's so much that we will probably in eternity only see about this magnificent, omnipresent God that we serve. But here, right at the start of the gospel according to John, it's not Palestine, it's not just what's happening there on the earth, it's something so much bigger. It says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. Now that takes us back actually just to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, chapter 1, right there, open your Bible, you can go and see right there at the beginning. You know, and that's where my mind, I have to say, well, where exactly is that? It's impossible for me to comprehend that. It's impossible. But this is the introduction to Jesus Christ. It says He was there right from the start with God. He was God. Not as some sects or cults today says, yeah, he was a God. No, He was God. Okay, not just one of many gods or something. Okay, He was God. Everything, He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. We need to give us a little bit of time. You know, you can just, during the holiday, drive in the desert and somewhere go and lay on your back and look at the stars on a beautiful night and look at all of that, everything around us, and just say, Lord, I'm so small and You are so big. You created everything. The Word says here, John introduces us and he says, but this Jesus who says, I just want to do the will of My Father, the one who has sent Me, He has created everything. He was there from the beginning. Nothing came into existence except through Him. Okay, and we can talk about it and we can arm wrestle about it and all of that, but it's beyond us. It's too big for us, but it's powerful. That's the God that we serve. And then if we go to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love this part. Okay, you know, John is introducing God as this powerful God that existed and created, and then this Word became flesh. Now, when we talk about flesh, there's a reason why it's translated to flesh. That's the Greek word that they used. And flesh is something that gets sick, something that withers away, something that dies, something that makes us stumble, something that is weak. And the Word came flesh. And the Word didn't cease to be God. Now, for the Jews, in the context, it was very important to them that no human being could become a God. But God surprised us in a sense that the God became flesh. God Almighty became flesh. They didn't see that one coming. It's not something that they saw in that sense. But it's so powerful when we look at it and we see that this Word God became the Word man. And He didn't cease to be God. He became that. He didn't stop to be God Almighty. And then He walked on the face of the earth. He was, and I mean, Jesus isn't walking around in the streets anymore, but we know we've got His Spirit. There's something alive in us. As Mark has testified this morning, we can see and say, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. So this morning, when we look at the rest of John or some portions of John and Jesus, we need to just look through this lens, this introduction of introducing the gospel and the gospel, the good news, but also the person of Jesus Christ. And then if we go back to that scripture, Jesus was saying there, my food is to do the will of my Father. If we continue one chapter later on to John chapter 4 verse 30, it says there, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. Jesus is totally committed. Jesus is totally sold out. As I said, it's not like us when we got a little bit of freedom. We just want to go there sometimes, you know, at the beach, you know, wherever in town you've seen, you know, sometimes someone taking a dog for a walk, and when you open that gate or that car, it's like that dog goes. You know, I had two Jack Russells, and usually when I went to walk with them and I opened that gate, they go. You know, they just run. They just enjoy this freedom out of the property. They just want to go. But for Jesus, it's like, I'm sold out. I just want to do the will of him who has sent me. Now, what is the will of him who has sent Jesus Christ? One chapter later, even in John chapter 6, verse 38 to verse 40, you can read with me. It says, for I have come down from heaven, you know, the word made flesh, already introduced, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who has sent me. Now, this is now Jesus, this is a theme that we see very often in John. Jesus saying, not to do my own will, but to do the will of my Father, the will of him who has sent me. And when I stand there, or when we read it, you know, you need to hear the love in this. It's a loving God who has sent his Son on a mission with a purpose. He has sent him to a cross. Now, for Jesus being getting crucified, it wasn't a surprise or something. In the culture, things happening, there were people crucified. They know he knew what was coming. And he says, I want to do the will of him who has sent me. Verse 39, and this is the will of him who has sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Then Jesus, he has now for a few times in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, he has come and he says, my will is to do the will of my Father, him who has sent me. And now he explains and he says, this is the will, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus Christ, and believes in him will have eternal life. Now we have spoken a lot this year regarding new life. We had a whole sermon series on new life and new desires and new prayers and all of that. And you know, it's so precious. I think we baptized quite a lot of people, especially in the second season of this year. And that's something that's so close to my heartbeat. It should be so close to the heartbeat of the church. We had this whole series where we spoke about the harvest and bringing in the harvest. And you know, early October, I spoke about, you know, the call to follow and making disciples of the harvest. And it's all to do with new life. But it's all to do with Jesus Christ, about the gospel and with the good news. Earlier on in John chapter 3, we see the most famous, probably the most famous summary of the gospel in the whole of the Bible. And we all know it quite well. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus was speaking all the time in the Gospel of John about eternal life, about him being sent, about being the good news, about being doing the will of my Father so that nothing will get lost, that they will have eternal life, that we can be reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And this was his will. This was his mission. This is what he, I can't say said yes to, but that was exactly what Jesus was doing. And it wasn't easy. And I mean, when we are honest with ourselves, even yet at the end of the year, you know, sometimes we will talk and we'll say, oh, well, that child has got a strong will, or that person has got a strong will, you know. Raising children, we will know some are just more obedient in a sense. And then there's those guys that just want to test every boundary and they've got the will of their own. And I believe it's part of something that we all need to let go of and say, God, your will, not just mine. And here, right, Jesus with the cross in front of him in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, we read, and I mean, Jesus, as I said, in terms of the culture, he knew exactly what was on its way for him, waiting for him there, the cross. And here he says, and going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Okay, and I believe here, as I said, at the end of the year, as we are busy, and I believe many of us on holiday or slowing down, and it's awesome time to spend time with our family and our friends. But you know, I think and I feel and I know that in the past 2 months, I had to say even more. I had to say, God, your will. There were times that I really had to deny myself. And it's not something new, but I believe it's something when we're growing in. When Michael Howard said that first night, he said, yeah, you're going to pray 5 times a week. I'm like, God, how are we going to do that? You know, it's going to challenge us. Amen? It's not easy to let go of our own wills and to say, Lord, your will. And I just know and I sense in my heart and in my spirit, the Lord doesn't want me to pick up things middle January when the school starts and maybe start to think about the church building once again and stuff like that. He wants me to be in his presence and to wrestle with him and to say, Lord, what is your will for me? What do you want for me? Because I know we as a church, that our heart is to be an obedient church. Not a church with our own will, but to be obedient to what God is calling to us. And it's such an exciting journey to be part of what the Lord wants to do with us and in us and through us. And I believe, you know, the first, I don't know, a long time, when we stand in that new building, we're going to have so many sermons to preach because we just see faith getting practical. Something that God is doing that is so much bigger than any of us. So, can we say as individuals, can we say, Lord, like Jesus Christ, your will? Can we say that my food is to do your will? My nourishment is to be obedient to you? Because we live in a world that's so full of distractions, full of things that tells us all the times, buy this, feel good about that, do that, etc. And we need to stay very focused and close to the Lord. Say, Lord, your will. And to walk in that, to be obedient to that. So I shared on that the call to follow early October because it's something that was so on my heart and still is on my heart, not just to bring in the harvest, but to disciple the harvest, to follow Jesus. And he make it so clear. So we can see when we look at through this lens of eternity, of early Palestine, but also eternity. The word that was there from the beginning with God, and he comes in and John explains to us with the help of the Holy Spirit that Jesus says, Lord, Father, your will, not my will. So I know it's going to challenge me. We cannot say we can do just our own will. Jesus made it so clear in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, when he said, and he said to all, to everyone, if anyone would come after me. It's like when you come after me. If, do you choose? Do you want to follow me? Do you want to come after me? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And it's easy when we talk about it and when we say it, when we reflect on that, but we need to be honest how challenging that is to us. It's challenging to me, and I believe it's when it many times when we you know, have to talk to people in counseling or ministry, sometimes, let's be honest, we get confused. What is the will of God? Where is he leading us? Sometimes it's like when you were young and you're swimming in the ocean and one of those big waves get a hold of you and it tosses you and turns you around a little bit. You know, you get confused. What is up and what is down and what is the real north and etc. And I've seen many times believers, even in the church, we get to a place of, God, but what do you want for me? What is your will for me? Where are you leading me? What do you want me to do right now? It's something that we battle from time to time with. And I just know when Jesus says, if you want to follow me, then you need to let go of yourself, deny yourself. You need to take up your cross and say yes to the will of Jesus Christ. So if we were to use that Latin term of quo vadis, yeah, the end of the year, where are you going? Where are you marching? You know, then I want to prepare my heart and say, Lord, I don't want to tick up or pick up the baton middle January next year and kind of dust my Bible off and get my prayer life back into place and maybe start to think about Bible school or small group again. I want to stay close to the Lord. I want to stay close that I want to go with the Lord with I know He's preparing my heart and I know He's preparing us as a church and a congregation for so much bigger things. There's so many things that is in place and lined up for next year. You know, we need to be ready. We can't just like be like an athlete and say, oh, I'm going to run that marathon, but you know, I just need to look for my running shoes and get them dusted off and etc. We need to stay close. We need to say, Lord, not that if, I'm saying yes, I want to follow. So if there's something that I always remember, Derek and Bertel Puffett, you know, they've been here for a few years, past 3 years, and they will come April next year once again. I've learned so much from them. And I remember once they said that, you know, many times we've got issues, people have got challenges, etc. Then we come to a counselor or a pastor or a small group leader or someone, and then we want healing. We want God to sort out our issues. And we say, we actually, in a sense, we come and say, this is my agenda for God. This is my list of God, what God must do in my life. Say, now, for instance, say you're battling with anxiety. You want to go to Sakin. You need to pray for you to take away the anxiety. But maybe the root cause of the anxiety is maybe you're spending too much. Maybe you're spending money that you don't have. Maybe you don't have good self-control and now you're in trouble. So now you lay awake at night and think, how will I pay the bills early next year? And now we come to someone and say, but I'm battling with anxiety. Let's pray to God to take it away. But that's not necessarily God's agenda for me. Often we come and say, God, this is my agenda. This is what I want you to do. But how many times I had to go back and say, God, but what was on your heart for me? What did you want to do in my life? Yes, there's the anxiety and stuff, but God wanted to get to the root. He wanted to get back to relationship because maybe I didn't seek the Lord before I bought something expensive, or I'm just using that as an example because we all know many times people in business will tell you, oh, January, February is kind of slow, but it's because we spent so much. We spend way too much this time of the year especially. And then we get into a tough place and then we want God to work it all out. So whose agenda are we busy with? We presenting our agenda to God or saying, God, what is on your heart for me? What is your will for me? And what God wants to do right now in my life and in your life and in your life, it might differ. This umbrella of biblical things that we all need to listen to, where we all need to obey, that we all need to walk in. But there's different things that God wants to work through in your life than in my life right now. Okay? So it's important that we can say this morning, if the flesh has not been crucified, then the world gets out of control. And if the enemy can come into that place and win that battle, then he wins everywhere in a sense. But something beautiful, I read it way back in Peter Horobin's book from LL Ministries, partners with Derek and Beryl, and I made a note, there's certain things I save and I keep them, and then sometimes I believe the Lord takes me back to them. And in that book, Healing Through Deliverance, he says, a person who is walking in wholeness and obedience before the Lord, or before God, is one whose will is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and whose flesh life, as a consequence, is under His control. One sentence, but it's powerful. There's a lot in that. And that is the example that Jesus gave us. He said, not my will, not how I feel today, not what my emotions or the weather, you know, sometimes we can have four seasons in one day. Jesus wasn't confused about doing the Father's will. I just want to read it once again. A person who is walking in wholeness and obedience before God is one whose will is under the lordship of Jesus Christ and whose flesh life, as a consequence, is under his control. He's the boss. He's the father. And John is introducing just Jesus Christ as the one who was there with God from the beginning, the one who created. He was the light. He was the word God that became flesh and dwelt among us. And he gave us this reflection of obeying the Father, of doing his will even unto the cross, of following, of saying yes. And Jesus is calling us as a church, and he says to all of us, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, crucify your flesh. I thought about the topic of the sermon. I thought, like, a dead church is a good church. There's so many ways how we can say it. Dead to our own will and alive to his will. Dead to our fleshly desires that always wants to distract us. So I'm not saying this morning, don't eat during the holiday, don't spend time with your family, don't go on a picnic or fishing or anything. But your will, your decision-making, because if I say, Quo Vadis, where are you marching, where are you going? It's something to do with the will behind it. I can lift my left hand and I can lift my right. We've got a free will. We all tested it probably before we know the Lord, and we know we can, in a sense, do whatever we want to. True, we've done that. Most of us, somewhere in our lives, we try to push the boundaries, and you can do it. And there's usually for sin terrible consequences. The word says the wages of sin is death. Okay? But to be in God's will, it's not always easy, but it's a good place to be. 3 weeks ago, I had a privilege. We baptized a man. He was in his early 70s. I could see he wrestled for a long time. Almost said he was old man. But for a long time, he wrestled with this, being baptized for a long time. And I could see he was kind of nervous on that Saturday afternoon. We were just three people there when we baptized him. It was a big moment in his life. And he asked me and he said to me, but what can I expect? What will happen after I get baptized? And I said, I think opposition. There will be challenges. Because when we grow in the kingdom, to use the Afrikaans term, dis nie net maanskyn en rose nie. Yes, there's new life. Yes, there's life. We are going to reconcile to God the Father. But after, as we start to grow up, many times I believe as we pass the hurdle in the kingdom, what's the reward? A bigger one. You know, when I was a young Christian, I looked at the leaders and I thought that it must be easy sailing. They know the word. They've got the spirit. Man, they can just go. But hey, there's challenges. Once you get baptized, when you grow, when you start to crucify your flesh, when you say, Lord, your will, that doesn't mean that's a free ticket to just the easy life. Look how Jesus' life and the apostles ended. The early church, most of them were martyred or killed or fed to the lions or whatever. And there's persecution. Someone said it in the past few weeks. I think it was Pastor Andres when he spoke about that one night, that Wednesday night. You know, sometimes we can grow, and wait until you get baptized or something significant. Then suddenly, the family and everyone is on your case. Now they want to know what's happening, you know, what's up. To say, Lord, your will, not mine, is something big. And I believe in our marriages, the way we raise our children, our small groups, as a church, you know, the Lord wants to come back for an obedient church that wants to do his will. And I believe that's the person I want to be. And I'm not saying it just to preach a message. I believe God is moving, and I can just see more and more people getting on this boat of ours where God is leading us and saying, I'll say no to my flesh. And I'll get on and I'll say yes to what God wants to do. There's a beautiful prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10 that I believe just encourages me and hopefully all of us to get to this place of saying, Lord, your will. Paul writing here, and he says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, and he says, so we have not stopped praying. I just want to see that. And he says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we have first heard about you. We ask God, not something else, we ask God to to give you complete knowledge of His will, and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. And all the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Isn't that beautiful? It's through a prayer. It's through asking God. Through asking God to give you a complete knowledge of His will. And to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then you will grow in the Lord. And that's why I started this morning with that prayer in Ephesians 1. That we have to, when we ask and we say, Lord, what is your will? What do you want from me? Where do you want to take me? Where do you want to lead me? We need to say, Lord, you need to give me spiritual wisdom. You need to open the eyes of my heart that I can hear. Because very often we hear fleshly things. Until we know the Lord very well, sometimes we get confused inside the church. If that didn't happen, there wouldn't be a lot of ministry in church. But because that happens, there's a lot of healing and ministry and counseling and even deliverance that need to take place. Because it's almost like two things that's working in us. And many times, daily, we need to decide and to say, will I love? Will I forgive? Will I give? Will I serve? And there's always a cost to count in terms of a price to pay, in terms of saying, your will, Lord, or mine. I can sleep more and I can give less. But I know when I do God's will, and the Spirit helps me into this almost a slipstream, you know, when people drive bicycles, the slipstream of others doing the same thing, following the Lord, doing His will, coming from the side, and as we are discipled, getting to this place of saying, yes, I also want to be in this place where I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was about exactly 5 years ago, I was once again at one of the, and I say once again because I don't think it's the end. I don't think God is finished with me. I think God will give me, all of us probably still, so much more challenges. But in December 2014, I remember it was one of those times in my life when I was saying, Lord, I'm not clear on this anymore. I'm not sure what you want. I'm not sure where you are taking me. And my flesh, had option A, B, C, and things that I want to pursue. And every time, me and Maritza just felt the Lord says no. The doors, proverbially, isn't opening up. There's a no. But that's where my flesh wants to go because of a lot of circumstances, you know. And I was really seeking the Lord in specifically that season. I'm saying, God, what do you want from me? Where do you want to take me? Now, you know, prior to that, I made that classic mistake which I'm trying to learn from, a few times where I said, I will never go to Swakopmund. So all the old Swakopers, please forgive me. You know, so I always said when I was living in Windhoek, I will never live there because yeah, it never rains and this and that. And I had a lot of reasons of my own, which I thought I don't want to live here. And as I was seeking the Lord, I remember it so vividly, you know, that one night on a hot, it was after Christmas on a hot, warm night in Windhoek. It was hot and dry, and I remember it was, I describe it almost like a Mike Tyson punch in my stomach, where I felt the Lord said to me, He's going to send us to Swakopmund. And I was, Lord, thank you for answering me, but that's not what I want to hear. I had other plans. My will, my flesh wanted to go other places. I want to experience other things. That's not necessarily where I want to go. But I can say one thing, I'm so thankful that I obeyed. I'm so thankful to God for His grace, that He, and God had a plan all along the time. I just battled to see over the hill, over the tomorrow. God had a plan, and I'm so thankful today of not saying yes to the flesh, to my will, but to His will, because He knows better. And church, this is a challenge to us. It's not something that comes cheap. It's not something that's easy right here at the end of the year where we have to make this decision of saying, Lord, your will or mine. To crucify the flesh, to take up, you know, that thing, you know, when things get tough, then the tough get going. But it's usually not the masses. It's only a few hard people. No, not hard people. It sounds terrible. strong people with soft hearts. How would I put it in a different way? But what I just want to say is, you know, that is usually not the masses. It's the smaller group. You know, when the Lord is laying on your heart and He's leading you to a place of maybe fasting a day or two, it's a very easy example. My flesh wants food and all the nice things, especially when you smell it. When you fast, everything smells 10 times more delicious, you know. Almost like what a dog must have every day, I guess. They apparently smell so much better than we do. But the thing is just, I have to say no in that time because I'm dedicating me. I'm through prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord. And I have to say no to my flesh, no to my own desires, and yes to what God wants to do in that time and season. So I want to ask you this morning, at the end of the year, Quo Vadis, where are you going? Where are you marching? Because your will and your relationship with Jesus Christ will dictate where are you going. How are you preparing yourself for next year? So next year isn't to me at right now. It's not something there at the end of the holiday. It's something right now that the Lord wants to do in our hearts, that we remain fit, that we remain focused. So what is your swakopmunt in a sense? What is your cross? What is your challenge? Can you say at the end of the year, my food is to do the will of my Father? Because it's not ticking a box and just giving the right answer. It's not a Sunday school class in a religious way. It's something between you and God. What do you need to let go of? Where do you need to starve the flesh? Because there's a lot of pleasures and things in this world that so easily distract us that we need to fight off and say, I don't want that in my life. I want to do the will of my Father. What is that cross? What is that swakopmunt? Maybe what is that thing you saying, I'll never do it? Is it tithing? Is it loving? Is it forgiving? Is it serving more than once? I've had many times sometimes people come from a hurt, broken place and say, but I will do this, but I'll never do anything more. It's like, just give time. God will change your heart. He's busy working with us. Because after all, we are being transformed from one degree to another just to become more like Christ. And the more like Christ we are, the more we can say, Lord, your will, not mine. So let's stick to the prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and pray and ask God, Lord, what is your will? Where do you want to work in this body, in this heart? What do you want to change? Because I just know one thing. The more people corporately getting to a place of saying, God, I'm going to be part of the dead church, dead to the flesh church, and alive to the Spirit. I'm going to set my things of my mind on the things of God and not on the things of this world. Yes, you can eat. Yes, you can go on holiday. That's not what I mean. But what is the main thing, what you are marching towards? Where are we going? Okay? And I believe the more people get to a place of saying, God, here we are. We'll repent on behalf of this nation. We will pray for rain, Lord God. We will intercede for this and that. Whatever you lay in our heart. It's not about me anymore. It's not my agenda for God. But it's about His agenda for me. Can we pray together? Yes, Father, we come to you as a church this morning, Lord God, and we glorify you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to daily, every moment, we want to look through this prologue in John chapter 1. And we want to see, Lord God, not just the world, the swakopmunt we're living in, but we want to see.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.